lock eyes with you. I see my reflection when I lock eyes with you. I feel your affection. I love to get lost in you. Cause you're my obsession when I lock eyes with you.
Cause you're my obsession when I lock eyes.
You can come in like a flood. I don't care what it looks like, 'cause I'm falling.
So in love.
I feel so hard. It's coming
like a fire.
Burn me up, burn me up.
Take it all away till all that's left is you. Turn the searchlight down from heaven. Search me, I'm open, search me, search me, search me.
Sorry about that. Sorry about that. Let me start back over again. There was no sound there. I just wanted to say, what a beautiful way to start the show. What a beautiful song to really get us going in the morning, to really get our spirits and our souls warm. Welcome to LFA TV's Rise Up. I am Jeremy Harrell, and this is my personal journey with Jesus. And 408 episodes ago, the Lord directed me to make my journey with Jesus public. And if you're a newer viewer, then that's what this is. This is my personal journey with my Lord and Savior. And I hope that by joining in with me, it'll help you on your journey with Jesus. Arthur, looks like your old porch again. It does, doesn't it? Wow, you remember that, huh, Arthur? Well, that's what I wanted to do today. I wanted to actually show you greatness. I'm going to walk away, and I'm just going to let this image marinate in your vision, in your eyes, in your head, in your soul. All right? Enjoy. Beautiful, isn't it? Is there any more homey and comfortable feeling than that picture right there? That's America. That is a good old-fashioned American, safe, God-filled home. And that is one good thing about New England, New Hampshire, is those old homes with porches like that. Now, our home that we had in New Hampshire had a porch not as big as that, but definitely looked just like that. And shout out to Arthur for noticing that. Hope you and the family are doing well, Arthur. Love you, man. Glad to see you here. Ashley says, wow, I'm crying already. And Gentleman said, at first I thought you were sitting on your front porch. I know, right? We do a great job here. Our producers do a great job here getting solid, clean background shots for these shows. Now, today I titled the show Muddy Shoes. Now, one thing that I know, if you were sitting on this porch behind me, that you would, the last thing that you would want is somebody with muddy shoes walking up on that porch, bringing all that mud up on the porch, getting ready to walk inside with caked mud on their shoes. Oh, would that bother me? I don't know about all of you. I don't know how you are in your homes, but that right there, that would bother me big time. And a lot of people don't even allow shoes in their home. If my wife had her, as a matter of fact, on our front door in our old home in New Hampshire, my wife had a sign that said in capital letters, absolutely no shoes allowed in my home. And then at the bottom, please take your shoes off. That's what it said. So when we had realtors coming over and everything, they're like, sounds like Mama Bear runs this house. Yes, that's exactly right. Now, some people do allow shoes inside, but I guarantee you, you would never allow dirty, muddy, disgusting shoes in that beautiful home, right? Thought it was your New Hampshire home, my sister said. I know it looks just like it, right? I might be blessed enough to have both my sister and my daughter, Shaylin, in the chat today. My daughter said she was going to be joining in today. So how great would that be? JV says, either remove your shoes or your feet. The choice is yours. Big shout out to my sister. Big shout out to my daughter, Shaylin. If you guys got your newsletter this morning, or if you signed up for the newsletter and you're getting it regularly, please pull up your newsletter today. Very big, a very important one. And one that I think every Christian, both new and old, should always remember and always know. Now, the verse of the day today is going to come from John 14, 1 through 7. Okay, so if you want to, you know, read along in your Bibles once we get to the verse of the day, it's John, which is the fourth book of the New Testament, the fourth book of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, okay? John 14, 1 all the way through verse 7. And I titled today's show, Muddy Shoes. Now, I take a lot of time sometimes to come up with titles. And I did marketing and advertising and sales for a very long time. So it was, you know, my job to sometimes come up with catchy sales slogans or even, you know, working on email etiquette to make sure you title your email something that's going to prompt somebody to open it. And not for malicious reasons, for sales and advertising reasons. So when I sit down to go over my titles of my shows or whatever, I want to link an analogy to it if I can. And I love that's what I love about the way Jesus spoke. Jesus spoke in parables. So, you know, only a certain group of people would be able to really understand what he was saying. And I love that kind of conversation where you can use analogies that really make somebody think on a whole nother level compared to how they would have thought beforehand. So that's how I speak to people. And so I titled today's show the best way that I could, the best way that I figured that would really grab attention. And that's muddy shoes, right? Because who likes muddy shoes? God Chick says, why am I not surprised, Jeremy? I one of my dreams one time was to write jingles. You know what I mean? Jingles for commercials and stuff like that. Those very horrible songs that get stuck in your head and they never, ever, ever leave and you remember them forever. Like Oscar Mayer, remember that? My baloney has a first name. It's O-S-C-A-R. My baloney has a second name. It's M-E-Y-A-R. I eat bologna every day, and if you ask me, I will say, my bologna has a way with B-O-L-O-G-N-A. Like, I remember that for the rest of my life, and I heard that when I was a kid. So that's what we titled today's show, Muddy Waters. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we will get into that, okay? All right. Lord and Heavenly Father, what an incredible message today from a very powerful and popular verse of the Bible. This verse is text from the Bible that non-believers, atheists, agnostics, and other religious believers will attack this verse probably more than any other verse because it is claiming that your son, you in the flesh, Yeshua, Jesus of Nazareth, is the only way to achieve a status in heaven with God. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father except through me. That is a very bold statement, Lord. And Lord, I just thank you today for gathering us all together in your name to humble ourselves, to repent of our wrongdoing, to have fellowship with one another, and to really, really explain this verse in a way that newcomers to Christ will understand and that some of us that are more mature in Christ will always, always remember. We thank you for this message. We ask for healing and restoration of health for those listening with sicknesses, with respiratory illnesses, with paralysis, with sleep disorders, with anxiety and depression, fear of the unknown. Lord, we ask that you touch all of their hearts today to help them light up that path before them so they can see a way to joy and peace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, my sister Crystal, one thing that I noticed that we didn't do while I was up in New Hampshire that I think we should definitely do when I come back is go to church together and I didn't even get a chance to pray with you. And after our cookout at our brother's house, I realized, wow, I didn't even get a chance to pray with my sister, who's a newcomer to Christ. And I really want to do that with you, sis. So let's make sure that we carve out time for that when I get back. Now, let me read for you the description of today's show. Make sure you open your verses. And those who don't have your verses or those who don't have their Bibles, don't worry, I'll pop it up on the screen. Army Dog says, have a bologna sandwich on me today, sir, and donated $20. You like that song, huh? You remember that song? Thanks, man. I will do that. I'll take that $20, and I will go to the local sandwich, one of the great sandwich shops around here, and I'll get a nice sandwich, me and Sabrina, for lunch. Rise Up, episode number 408. Muddy shoes are gross. They just are. Especially the kind of mud that, like, gets caked on your shoes. You know which kind I'm talking about? And you got to scrape off, and then you got to go outside to the hose and turn the hose on full blast, and then spray your shoes off, right? And then you've got to hang your shoes on the deck outside or something like that in the warm air so that they dry properly and they don't stink really bad. Patty, good morning. Jeremy, please use this as needed for Rise Up with a $200 donation. Well, you know what? I think for the best place to use that $200 donation, Patty, especially for God, is to put it in the Slurp Fund to help others. I think that might be the best place to put it. So if you have any objections to that, let me know. But if we're talking about spreading the gospel, I think that's the best place to put it. So thank you very much, and God bless you for that. You are definitely tithing to God because of where we're using it. So you know that you got to spray the shoes up, you got to hang them outside, you got to let them dry, and then you can wear them again. And the same thing with, hate to say it, but dog poop, right? You step in dog poop, there's no way of, you got to scrape in between the tread to get that off, and then you got to spray it off outside. It's kind of a mess. It's really gross, right? Imagine if somebody wore them, not only wore shoes into your house, but imagine if somebody wore those specific shoes while having dirty, stinky clothes because they were out on the farm, out in the woods, out on the skidder, out on the skid trail, shoveling you know what, whatever it is. Imagine they came home from work and walked into your home with those muddy shoes, with those dirty, stinky clothes, with dog poop in the treads of their boots, and they walked in, not only bringing that, trudging that stuff all across your kitchen, but imagine then they walked into your living room, on your carpet, on your couch, and put their feet up on your footstool and turned on the TV with zero regard for what they were doing to your home. I want you to imagine that being a reality, because I would assume, especially if some of you have kids, that something similar has been done like this before in your home. And now, on top of all of that, I want you to imagine you had just spent the last 6 hours, any mom out there or wife out there who's completely in charge of cleaning their home knows that it can take a good 5 to 6 hours to do a full house, full clean. And maybe even more, if everybody's laundry isn't done and mom's doing it all, it takes all day. And I can't stand when somebody says, what'd you do all day? I was at work all day. They did something that you would never do all day, sir. They sat home all day. They cleaned up everything. It took them 5 to 6 hours. They did all your laundry. Oh, by the way, and they're cooking when you get home, and they probably did all the errands and the bill paying for that day. So don't even start there, all right? Women have some of the hardest jobs on planet Earth. And to disrespect that wife, that mom, that woman, and disrespect her home, because let's face it, folks, the man might be the head of the household, but the woman is the boss of the home. And can we at least agree on that, men and women in this chat, and any in-betweens? It might be in the chat. Women run the house, period. So imagine not only the act of walking into these homes, but the disrespect to the home, but mainly to the wife of the home who does it all. Imagine what she would feel like knowing that you disrespected her like that, knowing that you walked in. Charlie Murphy playing Rick James, jump hop, exactly. Exactly. You can get a new couch. Kicking his mud all over the... Exactly. Think about that. And then imagine what the mom would think. The mom would be so... She'd feel so defeated. Now, real mama bears would be like taking their shoe off and whopping somebody right in the head who did that. But either way, the disrespect and how much it would take to clean that. Now let's think about this. That home is temporary. It's material. It's finite. It's of this world. And we should respect that home that is finite, temporary, and of this world, and respect the dwellers of that home, and more importantly, respect the woman of that home, and hold that family, that household in such high regard that we never want to, whether we live there or whether we don't, we never want to mess it up. Never. You'd never do that in somebody else's home, and you should never want to do that in your home. How much more do you think God holds his dwelling place, heaven, in high regard? If we look at our homes here on earth and we know we're not supposed to do that, and no mother would ever allow their children or their husband to come home and do that, then let me ask you this. Why would God allow anybody into heaven with muddy shoes, dirty clothes, and stinking of BO and garbage? Why would God allow that? I want to go to the verse of the day. And once we read the verse of the day, how you doing, Chris Green? Good to see you, man. Hope everything is well. I'll pull up the verse of the day. And once we read through the verse of the day, we'll then come back and read what I wrote down for today. And I know it's Tuesday, but we didn't really get a full Ray Comfort video yesterday. It was more of a Living Waters breakdown of the Olympics and the Christians that were in the Olympics. So I really want to go back because he posted another video. Let's pop this on the screen. Here we go. I am the way and the truth and the life. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Jesus is talking about where he is right now. Where he is right now. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to them, or said to him, excuse me, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, You do know him and have seen him. Boy, if that isn't linking Jesus to God as God in the flesh, for atheists and agnostics out there, I don't know what is. But the most bold claim in this is the title, I am the way, the truth, and life. And then the subsequent, and no one comes to the Father except through me. That means that nobody, no Buddhist, no man-made religion, no Muslim, no Mormon comes to Christ, comes to the Father, I should say. Nobody goes to heaven. And that is the controversial, at least the world sees it as controversial, because no other faith claims such a thing without being a works-based religion. Meaning there's no other faith on earth, A, where the leader of that faith is not dead and not buried in the ground in a tomb somewhere. Confucius, buried in a tomb somewhere. Muhammad, buried in a tomb somewhere. Right? All of these leaders of these religions, buried. Jesus is the only one, A, not buried. And B, he's the only one that says, you cannot get to heaven by being a good person. You cannot get to heaven by bribing God and saying, look at all the good I've done. Just like when you sit in front of a judge after doing something wrong, you cannot claim, hey, judge, hey, I know that I did this, as Ray Comfort says. I know I raped and killed that person, but look at all the good I've done. I did far more good than I did that one time that I did that really bad. The judge is going to say, good, you should do good. But I'm not here to judge you on your good works that you've done in your life, sir or ma'am. I am here to judge you on the murder. It's the same way with God. So that is what sets Jesus apart from everything else and literally takes it out of pride from yourself and makes you humble yourself in his presence to get to heaven, period. There is no ifs, ands, buts, or anything else about it. And people hate that. Now, I want to get to what I wrote. I think this is very important. Why do we need Jesus to get to heaven? As he claims, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Why can't we just be a good person and do more good than we do bad in order to get there? Well, first, before I even read what I wrote down, let me just tell you, in the Bible, it says there are none good but God. None. No matter what you do, there are none good but God. The rich young ruler says, teacher, 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 how do I obtain an everlasting life in heaven? And Jesus says to him, go and sell all your possessions, give it away, drop everything and follow me. For it is easier to pass through the eye of a camel or of a needle, for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle, than it is for a rich man to get to heaven. And Jesus wasn't even talking about somebody who has money. Jesus was talking about somebody who coveted money. And of course, he was right. The rich young ruler ran off. But in that conversation, he says, good teacher, good sir, good teacher. And Jesus says, why do you call me good? First of all, before we have a conversation, there is none good but God. Phew, amazing. So why can't we just be good and do right and do more good than we do bad and get there? That's a very good question, and I'm going to tell you exactly why. And it has everything to do with muddy shoes, okay? Everything that God is perfect. God is perfect. Everything he does is perfect. Everything he says is perfect. In heaven, everything around him is perfect. So all this perfection is what makes God in heaven what we call holy. And God will not allow, ready for this? Muddy shoes, folks. if everything that God is and everything that around God is and everything that God dwells in is perfect, God will not allow anything to enter into heaven that isn't perfect and holy. Why would he? It'd be like a perfectly good, healthy body allowing in cancer or allowing in sickness. It's going to want to push it out by design. Imagine if you just got done cleaning your house all day and someone wants to come inside with muddy shoes and dirty clothes. You yourself are not going to want that in your house. And that's just a temporary dwelling place. You know that house is going to be owned by another couple in 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And in 100 years, you'll be long gone. And nobody will remember you even lived there. But yet you are so adamant about not letting somebody with muddy shoes and dirty clothes into your house. How much more would God stand against that? To a place that is infinite and perfect and holy. God made a covenant with his chosen people. He gave them specific laws and specific commandments to follow. But everybody, and let me say that again, everybody fell short except for Jesus. Moses fell short. Abraham fell short. David fell short. Jacob fell short. Elisha fell short. The only person to never fall short was Jesus. Jesus was the only one who perfectly kept all the laws of Moses handed down by God, while perfectly never sinning, and kept the Ten Commandments while perfectly being obedient to the Father's will of him being crucified to death on the cross for you. Jesus did everything perfectly. So God the Father sees him and only him as pure perfection. Now, whoever is covered by Jesus' perfection is allowed to enter into heaven, and they no longer have muddy shoes, and they no longer have dirty, stinky clothes. Jesus takes care of that. Jesus pays the fine. Jesus is the golden ticket. Jesus makes you clean. Jesus takes off your muddy shoes and puts on heavenly house slippers. Jesus puts on new robes of white. So with Jesus, it's okay, guys. He's with me. Security comes up. Who is it? It's okay, guys. He's with me. It's like if you started walking into heaven, right? And the security guards there saw you all dirty and they came running up on you and Jesus puts his arm around you and says, "What are you doing?" They're like, "Sir, he's dirty." And as soon as he puts his arm around you, you're instantly clean. And he goes, "Really? You might want to take another look." Oh, sorry, sir. Yeah, that's right. He's with me, aren't you? Come on. I want you to meet somebody. Jeremy, so how do you get that protection? Well, I'm about to tell you, girl. I'm about to tell you. So you no longer have muddy shoes now. You no longer have dirty, stinky clothes. You no longer smell like an armpit. We have to understand that being a good person does not make you perfect, which you have to be in order to get there. Right? You have to be in perfection, in which you can't, so no amount of good you can do can make you perfect. Following the teachings of Buddha or Muhammad doesn't make you perfect. Chakras, energy, and crystals don't even come close to making you perfect. Perfection is only achieved, are you ready for this, kitten head? Perfection is only achieved through faith and trust that Jesus, Yeshua, really did die for your sins and no other reason, and also rose again, as hundreds of people saw with their very own eyes, which is eyewitness testimony, which is the most reliable source of information that you could possibly pass down to let the next generation know what happened on those days. Faith and trust. That's it. Ray Comfort always says, put your trust in Jesus like you trust in a parachute, right? This is why he is the only way. Because he's the only one that can clean your shoes. He's the only one that can clean your clothes. He's the only one that can ensure your passage through the gates to introduce you to Father God who created you. Imagine how special you would be. Miranda says God made the crystals. Exactly. Just like he made a car and a house and wood and screws and metal. We shouldn't worship them either. Sue from Alaska is watching. I wonder what time it is there. I hope today's message is helping you. But now we've come to the time where I want to show you Ray's new video from his Just Witnessing channel. Roll it.
Comment on a YouTube channel where someone accused me of plagiarism. They said Ray copied Left Behind 2, which is a well-known Christian movie, verbatim when he asked people if they've ever lied, stole, or looked at a woman with lust. The whole thing. Plagiarism is a serious crime. It means to steal and pass off the ideas or words of another as one's own. So let's look at Left Behind 2, and you be the judge. Am I guilty of plagiarism?
I mean, what is it with you people? You think everyone's bad? Well, I have something to tell you. There are lots of good people in the world, including me.
According to whose standards? Yours or God's?
What?
You just said you were a good person. I mean, do you think you've kept the Ten Commandments?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I'm not perfect, but I've never killed anybody.
Okay, well, have you ever lied?
Yeah, well, who hasn't?
So what does that make you?
Human.
Come on, Chris, be honest. If you've murdered somebody, that makes you a murderer. So if you've lied, what does that make you?
Okay. A liar.
Have you ever stolen anything?
No.
Even if it's something small?
Well, yeah, once.
So what does that make you?
A thief.
You know, the one that really got me was, Jesus said, whoever looks at a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. You ever done that?
Yeah. Guilty.
So, Chris, by your own admission, you're a lying thief and an adulterer at heart. And that's only three of the Ten Commandments. So if God judges you by those standards, do you honestly think you're going to be innocent or guilty?
I guess I'd be guilty.
Chris, that's the point.
But what am I supposed to do? Get religious?
No, that's what we're trying to tell you. Jesus took your punishment when he died on the cross. God did that so you wouldn't have to go to hell. That's how much he loves you. Eternal life is a gift. You don't have to do anything religious.
Well, what do you think? Does that sound anything like I present the gospel? Actually, it does. Let me tell you what happened. Back in 2001, I received a call from Kirk Cameron. I'll let Kirk tell you about it. Here he is back in 2003.
The first time that I met Ray Comfort was when I was promoting the movie called Left Behind. Somebody handed me a CD of a sermon called Hell's Best Kept Secret. I listened to this and I don't know words to explain it. It just rocked the foundation of my Christian faith. It inspired me with a zeal and a passion to reach the lost. I called him up and said, who are you and why have you given this message? Because I needed to hear this so much. He sent me a book, I read it, called him again, we got together for lunch, talked for 3 hours, we've become the best of friends and merged our ministries together, and he's here tonight.
A short time after that, he was on location in Canada filming Left Behind 2. He called me and he said, the gospel presentation is awful. It's so man-centered. It's not biblical. He said, would you rewrite that part of the script? And so I did. And then Mark Spence and myself flew to Canada, and we were on location when they filmed that part of the scene. So I plead guilty to plagiarizing myself. Now watch this. Watch the guy on the left. He's a Catholic who amazingly knew his Bible, but he had no assurance of salvation. You're going to love this.
Oh no, we're embarrassed. We screwed up. Our warehouse is overloaded with...
And a commercial. So we're going to skip that and go right back to it now.
You ever think about your own death?
Sometimes, yeah.
Scare you?
A little bit, but I try not to think about it.
A little bit? It's horrifying.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to die, so yeah. I guess it is horrifying.
You think about your own death?
I do, actually, yeah.
You believe in God?
I do believe in God.
Why did you give us death? I mean, you think about the beauty of life, flowers, birds, and trees, and the warmth of the sun, and love and laughter, and then death. What's that about? Any idea?
When he first created humans, Adam and Eve, they all rebelled against God. So sin came into the world. The punishment for sin is death.
Are you a Christian?
Catholic.
Have you been born again?
Born again? What do you mean?
In John chapter 3, Jesus said, unless you're born again, you're not going to enter heaven. So we better make sure you're born again. So we'll come back to you in a minute. Do you ever read the Bible?
Yeah. I need to read it more, though. I feel like I don't read it too much.
Do you ever read the Bible?
I'm trying to now that I feel like I've grown closer, so I'm trying to read it more.
The reason I ask that is because the Bible tells us exactly what happens after death. It's appointed a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. So death is an appointment we have to keep. We've got no choice. It's not like a dentist appointment. You can choose not to show up.
Yeah, no.
And we'd like to not show up for death, but it's an appointment we have to keep. How are you going to do on Judgment Day? Are you a good person?
Yes.
I see you shaking your head. Are you a good person?
Absolutely not. What I've learned is that no one is a good person and no one deserves to go to heaven.
How do I get to heaven? I'm dying. I've got 3 minutes to live. There's a knife in my back. What would you say to me?
What I would say to you is repent to Jesus right away. When Jesus was hanging on the cross and there was two criminals, one to his left, one to his right, one of them told him, if you are really God, save us from these crosses and save yourself. And the other one said, we deserve this death, we deserve this punishment, but this man right here, he didn't do anything. And he asked Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom? And he replied, truly I tell you, you'll be in paradise with me.
So it sounds like you know the way of salvation, but you have no assurance. So we're going to get that for you today, God willing. You know what assurance is?
Knowing that you will.
Yeah, knowing that you're saved. Absolutely. I'm going to cross-examine you. Can you handle that?
Yeah.
How many lies have you told in your life?
Many.
Ever stolen something?
That? No.
Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yes.
Have you?
100%.
Do you love your mom?
I do.
Would you ever use her name as a cuss word?
No, I won't.
No, because you respect her.
100%.
You don't respect the God that gave you a mother because you've taken his holy name and used it as a cuss word. That's called blasphemy, punishable by death in the Old Testament. One to go. Appreciate your honesty. Jesus said, if you look at a woman and lust for her, you commit adultery with her in your heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Oh, yeah.
All the time.
Can't help it, can we?
No, we can't.
So, if God judges you by the Ten Commandments on Judgment Day as a lying, blasphemous, adulterer at heart, you're going to be innocent or guilty?
Guilty.
Heaven or hell?
Hell.
If he just forgave sins, you've got nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
But he doesn't just forgive sins. He sent a Savior to die on the cross for our sins. Now, you know that. Most people do, but they don't know this. And guys, if you can get a grip of this, it's going to change everything for you. The Ten Commandments are called the moral law. You and I broke the law. Jesus paid the fine. That's why he said, it is finished, just before he died. He was saying, paid in full. If you're in court and you've got speeding fines and you plead guilty, a judge will let you go if someone pays those fines. So your fine's paid by another, you can leave, out of here, and it's legal. Well, God can legally take the death sentence off you because Jesus suffered and died on the cross, paying our fine, rising from the dead, defeating death, and all you have to do to find everlasting life is repent of your sins. That's more than confessing them to a priest. You actually turn from sin. You confess and forsake them, and then you put your trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior, as your sin bearer. The minute you do that, God will grant you remission of sins. Everlasting life is a free gift, not because you're good, but because he's good and kind and rich in mercy. Make sense?
Amen.
The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time.
Yes, yes.
So when are you going to repent and put your trust in Jesus?
Today.
And what about you?
Same here today.
Are you sorry for your sins?
I am.
And you sorry for your sins?
Yes.
You're willing to turn from them and trust Jesus?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, let's pray. Father, I thank you for these dear young men and their desire to get right with you. I pray that you'll give them up. This day may they be born again, be given a new heart, new desires. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do you have a Bible, huh?
Yes.
Do you have a Bible? Yeah, I'd like to give you a Gospel of John, if that's okay. And a book I've written called Scientific Facts in the Bible that'll boost your faith in the Bible. And another little booklet called Save Yourself Some Pain. Is that okay?
Yes, that's perfectly fine.
I love that, yeah.
Okay, let me grab it.
All right, now I wanted to, what a great video, by the way. I love that. I wanted to address something that I saw in the chat. So T. Mitchell could use prayers for her son. Her son went to his probation meeting and failed his test. I would assume that is a urinalysis test. And she said she doesn't know what's going to happen. And asked, you know, prayers for her son. Let me just say this. Last night I had a situation where I prayed for something for my daughter, Olivia. But you always have to follow it up with this, and I'll tell you what it is, okay? We moved here so my children would have new opportunities that we didn't have in New Hampshire. And other reasons, too. God told us to. But there was many reasons that, you know, prompted us, yeah, this might be the way to go. And one of those reasons was so our children would be able to be around their family members that they didn't know and be in a place where they didn't have to travel 2 hours separately to do things that they needed to do and more opportunity for them to engage in things and thrive and ultimately succeed. Now, my daughter has never played volleyball in her life, but she moved here and volleyball is really big here. And my sisters were state volleyball champions, and she really wanted to play volleyball. And she's not the greatest. She's kind of a little clumsy when it comes to athletics. She's a great gymnast and stuff, but athletics, she's a little clumsy. And, you know, around here, they take sports very, very seriously. I mean, state champs and all that. So obviously there's tryouts and stuff, and she was having tryouts last night. And before she went, she knew the chances were slim for her to make it because she'd never done it before. And these girls have been playing, you know, their whole lives. And I prayed with her, and I said, please allow my daughter's heart's desires to come true for her and to come to fruition for her if, and this is the big if, it is your will. If it is aligned with your will, God, let your will be done. Now, she did not make that team. And she takes things very seriously. She takes things very hard, very emotional. And when she got back, you know, I gave her a hug and I said, well, remember, we said if it's God's will. And maybe God's will for you was to step out of the box, try something new, have the courage to put yourself out there in a very big school district that you're not used to, with very, very highly competitive people that you have never played the sport or against these kind of people. And you went and you did that. And maybe that was God's will. Maybe playing on this team at that level was not God's will. Because you want to know what happened because of this? You got to meet a bunch of girls that you would not have known. And you would have started school in 2 weeks in a place that has over 2,000 students. And you would have walked in alone not knowing anybody. Now you know about 20 girls who are going to help you and guide you if you need to when you go to this big new school that's going to be overwhelming for you. Not only that, you now have decided, you now know if you want to do volleyball or not. Maybe you don't. Maybe you, doing it this far, realize that, oh, volleyball's really not for me. Maybe something else is. And if that's the case, that's great. You're trying new things. That is what you are supposed to do. And if you really, 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 really want to play volleyball, not only do you have two aunts who are state champions, but, and who will help you and teach you, but now you can go and get into camps and smaller associations, and you know what level of competition you need to be. So, again, looking at the glass half full rather than half empty, maybe it is God's will, T. Mitchell, that your son learn something very important, no matter what the disciplinary action may be against him. But I can tell you this, from being on that side of the aisle, on that side of the fence, they will give you chances, and they will give you the ability to say what you did wrong, admit your wrongdoings, and take your punishment like a man and move on. And I'll tell you another thing. It took me running away from a minimum security work release center in order to put myself in a position to have to go to a maximum security prison so that I never, ever, ever, ever went back. I was not part of that revolving doors of prisoners that go in and out, 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 because I learned the hard way, and I learned early and young, and now I have a beautiful family that's blessed by God, and I have this amazing network that I get to do this. So, always pray, yes, but always attach, if it is God's will. Lord, if it is your will, whatever it is, we will accept and we will be happy with and we will feel blessed and we will move on, because there's always a lesson to be learned. So I'll just say that. Okay? I want to just say on the way out, ladies and gentlemen, that Jesus is the only way, not to heaven. Yes, to heaven, but he's the only way to joy. He's the only way to true peace. He's the only way to true prosperity, true blessings. He is literally the only way. And yes, he's also the only way to heaven. And if you're seeking a way out of anxiety or depression or anger or fear or repetitive stuff that you keep doing that you won't get out of that cycle, try on Jesus for a day or two. See how that fits. All right? He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And he will take off your muddy shoes and your dirty clothes and reclothe you and put new shoes of white holiness on your feet. Not white as Caucasian, if somebody's watching it and going, see, he's racist. I'm talking about the robes of white, the linen of white, the sheep of white. That's what I'm talking about. God bless you guys. Mike Crispy comes up next, followed by 2 hours of Live from America. God bless you. See you later. I don't care what it looks like. I'm so in love. Oh, just come and